I begin to seek the Lord, and I realize that I'm really frustrated about my life in these areas, or about life in these areas, but it really came down to that I had poor leadership. And so I really had to take my frustration and some of the things that I didn't like and some of the things that I didn't understand, and I had to give them to the Lord. In other words, I can't change them. It's making me angry, and now I'm fussing and cussing at my family, and that's not what God calls me to do. And oh, by the way, that's not how you lead a family. And so I begin to see that and go, okay, I want to change it and I need to change it, but I wasn't sure how. And I really learned how to give my problems and give my worries and my fears and my shame, because I had a lot of shame, and how to give that to the Lord, and the Lord to feel me, and how to read scripture and do all those things. And the Lord began to feel my heart.
My name is Tim Anderson. Welcome to Father and Friend, where men learn to live for the good of their families.
So, Nathan, thanks for being here today. I appreciate it.
Tim, thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
Let me just start with asking you to tell me a little bit about your fatherhood journey. Tell me about your children, your family, how it all began.
Well, me being a father is not something I think about or even think about sharing about, but I realize in today's age, there are a lot of young men specifically that I run into that have questions about this. And I think it really helps when we have a father in our life. I had a father, and he was a very, very much in charge, very much the leader person, man, father. And so I think we kind of gravitate towards that. And so that's what's the word I'm looking for? That's the way I thought it was going to be done. And that's the way I tried to do it, because my kids didn't know any other way. Over the years, I realized that there was a need for leadership and to lead them, but I didn't necessarily know how. And so I'll be glad to talk more about it, but I realized that I needed to change me, and changing me to be the leader that God called me to be, but I didn't necessarily know how, and that was a difficult thing for me.
Oh, that's great. So what was the turning point? You know, usually when we have a moment where we see ourselves as we really are, we have this moment of going, something's not right here. What was that for you?
That was my wife and I, and our marriage was crumbling. This is 10 or 12 years ago, and I had little kids at the time, and they were 6 and 4 or somewhere in that age. And my wife and I got to a point in our marriage where we didn't like each other, and we didn't love each other, and so we were headed for divorce. And so at that point, I was resentful, and I was the victim, and I was frustrated, and I really looked at my life at that point and realized a couple of things. One was that I was an absolute and complete and total failure, and that everything I had done in my life up until that point, it did not work. And so I turned to the Lord. I had been a believer and I had loved the Lord, but I didn't follow the Lord. And so it was at that point that I really gave my life to the Lord and said, okay, my marriage is falling apart. I'm about to sell my house. We're about to go in two separate directions. I'll get to see my kids some, but not all the time. In this new life, I didn't like and didn't want and realized I'm a failure. And so I need to do something different. And it was at that point that I really gave my life to the Lord. I was baptized years earlier, but at that point I became a follower. And so I realized it took me a few years to come to all these conclusions, but I realized I was following my wife. My wife is a natural leader. And so it was easy to follow her. And I believe that a happy wife makes a happy life. And in doing that, I realized it led us to a place where neither one of us were happy and our marriage was crumbling and falling apart. And so it was then that I realized that I needed to change my life, and that I was a terrible husband, and I was a terrible father, and I was a terrible leader. And I wanted to change that, but I wasn't exactly sure how. And so that's how I literally started going about seeking the Lord and reading scripture and praying about it. And that was when I decided, all right, maybe I should go to church, because apparently people that love the Lord and follow God go to church. And so I wanted to do that also. So I went and found a church, and I started going to church, and I started reading the Bible and started reading Timothy and started reading Titus. And what does a godly man look like? And what does he do? And how does he act? And it was from there that I realized that it was my job to lead my children. And the best way to do that was make a father that actually loved the Lord and was worth following, that just wasn't wandering around. And that's where I began to make those changes. It was really in me, so that I feared the Lord and I was following something rather than me just wandering lost in life.
Wow, that's great. I love that. That's fantastic. How old are your kids now?
My kids are now 17 and 15.
Wow. So you had this change in heart. God revealed to you kind of, I guess, what you really looked like.
Yes.
He let you look in the mirror a little bit.
Yes. Pretty ugly, by the way.
And what was the first thing? You went to church as the first thing. You started seeking God. You started reading the Bible. Did you find a mentor? Did you go to a conference? Did you do any of those things? Or was it in your local church that change primarily happened?
I did start attending church. That church, I got connected with a few people, and they had some sort of marriage program, and I really didn't know what that was. I wouldn't call it counseling. I do think that mentoring is the right word. It was basically a husband and wife, and now I'm in my mid-30s at the time, and they put us together with an older couple that were in their 70s, and they basically became our mentors, and they said, we're not here to fight with you. We're not here to referee your fights. We don't want to hear your fights. We're going to talk about the Bible, and we're going to talk about your issues, and they basically, we talked to them together and we talked to them separately. And it was really from there that I got engaged with a 70-something-year-old man. And I really thought, he's out of touch. He's so much older that how can he speak to marriage today? And I really didn't know that it would really work. But turns out it worked, and it worked real well. And he was able to speak to me in love, and I basically trusted him. And he began to tell me, Nathan, you're wrong about this, and you got to stop doing that, and you're doing wrong here, and you're making your wife mad here, and by the way, you're not leading. And he began to tell me all these things that I didn't really want to hear. It was difficult to hear, but I knew that he was telling me the truth, and it was very difficult to make that transition. Basically, what I had to do was say, okay, you're right, and I'm handling this wrong, and I need to change, and I need to look at it differently, and I need to think about it differently, and I need to control my emotions. And I wasn't sure how to do that at the time. It was really difficult.
So was that a big part of that transition, was sort of learning self-control in your emotions? Help me understand, what did that look like before, and then what did it look like as you grew in that?
Well,
fruit of the spirit, right? I mean, that's essentially what we're saying.
It really is, though. It takes years, and I think we're always on that journey. But for me, over the next few years, I realized maybe the Lord allowed me to see myself, and now I had a mentor explaining, this is why you have so much tension, and this is why things aren't going well. And so I began to seek the Lord, and I realized that I'm really frustrated about my wife in these areas, or about life in these areas. But it really came down to that I had poor leadership. And so I really had to take my frustration and some of the things that I didn't like and some of the things that I didn't understand, and I had to give them to the Lord. In other words, I can't change them. It's making me angry. And now I'm fussing and cussing at my family. Mm-hmm. And that's not what God calls me to do. And oh, by the way, that's not how you lead a family. And so I begin to see that and go, okay, I want to change it and I need to change it, but I wasn't sure how. And I really learned how to give my problems and give my worries and my fears and my shame, because I had a lot of shame, how to give that to the Lord and the Lord to feel me, and how to read scripture and do all those things. And the Lord began to feel my heart. And the more he filled my heart and I began to get rid of my baggage and this heavy load that I was carrying around, I began to have more peace and filled with the Holy Spirit. And then my marriage began to get better. Mm-hmm. And I didn't necessarily put all those pieces together at first, but I realized a lot of it was me. I needed to fix me and I needed to fix my issues, that I didn't need to pile them on my wife or pile them on my family or fuss at them when things didn't turn out right. That, long story short, I was a terrible leader and I needed to change that.
That's fantastic. So sounds like you realized that your biggest problem was not your wife or your children, but it was yourself.
Correct. Yeah, that's exactly right. But I also think that that a lot of us deal with that. And I realize that we all have baggage and we all have a past and we all have things that we're ashamed of or not proud of, but we don't always know how to deal with it. And I realized that was really me dealing with it. And when I could have my own discipline in my own life, and I knew how to take my trouble to the Lord and not to my family, then that was some valuable lessons that served me for the rest of my life.
That's fantastic. So leading, that was the first thing we started with. It sounds like you've described essentially that you were not able to lead very well until you yourself were, one way to say it might be, being led by God first. But sorting out some of the maybe the cause for some of those difficult situations, that a lot of those were stresses within you or sins or some other thing that was coming out towards your family instead of you taking that up with God himself.
Yes.
So, correct. So with the leading part, help me understand, are there some things that you do in leading your family now? And give me a mental picture of what that looks like for you to lead your family now. And are there specific things that you do with them? Or is it more of a sort of broad, the way you think about your family? Help me understand that.
In the beginning, I'm back 10 years ago. One of the things that I realized that we needed to have a better bedtime, because when you have little kids doing mealtime and bath time and bedtime, it's a lot, and it's a lot to take on. And so I wasn't leading well in that. So I began to do that, and I was reading the Bible, and then I was reading my children bedtime stories. And this is just one example. And then I realized some of these stories from the Bible my kids would like, and so I begin to read the Bible to my children as a bedtime story. And obviously all the biblical stories are not child appropriate,
sure,
but I begin to read through that and read about David, and David had lots of adventures in 1 and 2 Samuel. And so we begin to read through that. And then my children got old enough to read. And so then they would read a paragraph. And so we would do that at bedtime. I begin to go to church. And at first I went to church by myself, partly because my wife and I were still in the middle of all that. And now I was out seeking something, and I wasn't sure how it would turn out. I wasn't sure if I was going to go to 4 or 5 different churches. I didn't really know. And so I just needed to go for me. So I just got up and got ready and left. And it was at that point when I actually found a church and went there. And by the way, I sat in the pew and I cried the whole time. And the music and the message and everything was about me and for me and to me, or at least that's the way it felt. And after I kind of got some peace with that and realized, all right, this is the church and I really like it here. That was about the time that my wife, again, you got to understand, she lives upstairs and I live downstairs, and we pass by each other and spit venom at one another. That's kind of where we were at. And then one day, I'm getting ready to go to church on a Sunday morning. And I don't know, I've been going for 4 or 5 or 6 weeks now. I'm literally just getting up and leaving because my wife and I aren't talking. But she has figured out that I'm going to church. And for some reason, I don't know if she saw a change or maybe she saw something different in me. I have no idea. But one Sunday morning, I'm getting ready for church and she says, "Are you going to church?" And my first thought was, yes, that's a dumb question. And my next thought was, oh, she wants to go with me. She's seeking an invitation. Well, in my bitterness, I didn't want to invite her because I was like, she's going to make me late because women are late for church and late for everything else. And so that was one of the things that I struggled with. But my point is, I eventually said, yes, I'm going to church. Would you like to go? And she said, yes. And so then I realized now we got to get kids ready. But that was the beginning of it. And after that, I started getting up and telling the family, we're going to church. And if my wife didn't want to go, she didn't have to go. But the kids, they have to go. And we're going to get ready and we're going to go and we're going to go to kids church and we're going to go to big church and we're going to do all these things. And that is our new routine. We need to get filled with God's word and a good encouraging message on a regular basis, because I had a lot of negative and a lot of things I was struggling with. And I really needed to be filled with God's word at the time. And so those were some of the first steps that I began to take in that journey.
That's wonderful. I imagine a lot of men, husbands can relate to that feeling of, if they've been in a conflict with their wife, passing by them. And as you mentioned, sort of you're feeling that bitterness and there's sort of a hand is reaching out and part of you wants to go, no, I don't want your hand.
Yes. I'm still mad and I want to stay mad in my bitterness. Yes. But that doesn't get us where we want to go.
No, I imagine that you had that conflict in your mind at that moment going, ah, I know what the right thing to do here is.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit then about guiding your family. Would you put leading and guiding and protecting all together, or do you have different ways you think about those kind of three categories?
I think there's leading children, there's leading a wife, which is very difficult. I have a son, and the way I talk to him is different than the way I talk to my daughter. But one of those that I realized early on was that I am the example. And that was part of me trying to fix me. And what I mean by that is that our kids, they don't always do what we tell them to do, but they do what we do. And one of the examples that I realized early on was that I bite my nails, nasty, terrible habit. And I look over one day at my son who's 4 and he's biting his nails. And I realized he learned that from me. And so I, of course, said, son, don't do that. That's a terrible, nasty thing. But he never stopped because I never stopped. And so it was one of those things that I realized, why would he ever listen to me if I'm doing something completely different? And so they're going to follow and do what we do. And so from that, I realized, okay, that means I actually need to be a good father and a good man, and I need to set an example. And that was a bit overwhelming for me because I felt like I'm not a good man. Yes, I meet the worldly standard. I don't beat my wife. I don't do drugs. I don't go out to bars and stay out all night. So therefore, I'm a good man. But when I read the Bible, I realized that was not the standard and that I was comparing myself wrong. And so therefore, I had to start doing some things differently. One of those things was is that I realized that I needed to lose some weight and I needed to go to the gym and I needed to set an example of, this is what a man looks like. He gets up and goes to work, and he goes and works out, and he cares about, hey, having washboard abs is not important, but being healthy and teaching my son as he got to be 12 and 13 and 14, and he began to say, Dad, I want to go to the gym with you. And to be able to do those things, this is what being a man looks like. And this is what bench press looks like. And this is how we do these things that I believe that most young men are interested in, but sometimes they don't necessarily know how to do it. I don't know if that answers your question, but those are some. Yeah.
No, it sounds like you saw the, your kids were the accountability structure that God gave you to go.
Yeah.
Hey, this is, if you don't think this is good for them, then why are you doing it?
Yes. I tell you, another thought is, I realized that my tone with my wife was not good. And that was part of the reason that she and I got into fights. Number one, she led real well and I didn't. And, I followed her in the past, and now I need to lead, but I didn't always know what that would look like. My father told me years ago that, son, you need to lead your family or lead your household spiritually, be the spiritual leader of your house. And I had absolutely no idea what that meant. Okay, say the prayer before dinner. Okay, that's nice, Dad. But years later, I realized that was the main area that I was failing in. That was the main area that I was struggling in, was that area of leading my family spiritually. And that meant going to church, and that meant leading the prayer. And that meant them seeing a father that actually prays or prays over people, or back to what I started with, and that is the way I speak to my wife. And the way I speak to my wife needed to change. I wanted them to see me and think, my dad really does love my mom. It's not just about fighting. Yes, marriage is difficult, but that sometimes when they see us, they need to know that Dad really does love mom, and he really will die for mom. If that's what it comes to, Dad loves her that much.
That's wonderful. And I guess that leads us to the protecting part, you know, dying for the good of somebody else. Help me understand, what does that look like in your family?
Well, me personally, years ago, I began to realize that I needed to protect my family, that God, placed upon me as the man that I'm head of the household. And so I needed to protect my family. And that if something was going to happen, that I needed to go and deal with that. And so that was a new revelation for me. I also realized that if I go out somewhere and I were to tell my family, hey, y'all need to get down underneath the table. Y'all need to get over here and get out of the way. I need to tell them one time, and they have a second to do that. They're not going to listen. They're going to say, who, where, what? And then that threat is already upon them. And so the idea that I'm going to get little kids and a wife and all these things out of harm's way quickly, I realized was probably going to be impossible to do. And so therefore I needed to learn how to protect my family. And for me, I began to carry a firearm, and I began to train with that firearm, and I began to go get training, and I began to work on this skill set of saying, all right, if I'm actually going to carry, then I have responsibility when I carry. And it's a high responsibility to protect my wife or my wife and family, and know the laws and know the rules and know my limitations and know what that looks like. And so I began to carry a gun. People have asked me, I've had a gun for years. I think a lot of us have a gun in a drawer at home. Mm-hmm. But for me, I realized that I have a firearm in the car. I have a firearm at home, but unless I have it on me, then there's no way I can protect them. And the mindset changed that if I were to die, if I needed to step in harm's way and deal with the threat right away and I die, then that would be okay. But the Lord told me that I needed to be able to step forward and deal with any of these threats and be able to see things coming and have the awareness of what was going on, because most of the time my wife and my children do not.
So when you think about protecting, I love that. First of all, I love the idea of you're taking responsibility for what God's given you and saying, this is what God's given me. Help me to protect and steward my children and my wife well. What are some ways that you have protected your children or your wife? Maybe not physically. Are there any that you can think of that are maybe protecting them from maybe sin, or protecting them from themselves, or protecting them from just other sort of harmful things?
Yes. When you get to have teenagers and teenagers have phones, then there's all sorts of difficulties and problems and trouble in our phones today and these new computer and apps and so forth. And so that's an ongoing battle and struggle. One of the things was I realized early on that pornography or other difficulties that teenagers deal with, they just show up in life. I think Satan and the evil one has a way to present that to them, and it arrives somehow or another on their phone. It's like impossible to avoid these days to have a pure life without things showing up. And so I went to my son and I began to talk to him about this, about what this looks like and what this means. And I basically told him a very basic story, and this is years ago, but let me see if I can remember it. I basically said that if there was a world and it was full of bear traps, and they're actually traps that you squash down so that if an animal or bear steps on it, it closes up, and it basically closes on their foot. And there's these animal traps out in the wilderness that trappers use to trap coyotes or coons or varmints, and they also have bear traps as well. And I explained to him that life is full of these bear traps that look shiny and look inviting, as pornography does, but you need to understand that this is a trap, and it will grab a hold of you, and then it will hang on to you for years, and you don't realize that you're carrying around all these traps on your hands and on your legs, and that it's weighing you down, and you're towing this around your entire life. When we as men, and especially young men, get addicted to pornography. And so I basically said, it's my job to steer you through all these bear traps, because I see them, I've experienced them, I've failed in many of those areas. And so I know from experience, number one, how addictive, how dangerous, how difficult all this is, but more importantly, how it affects you. You think it doesn't affect you much as a young man, but how it affects you as an older man, and you've been married for years and you think all that will go away, and it really doesn't. That trap is still hanging on to you. And so I begin to talk to him and say, I see these bear traps and I'm going to lead you through them, even though you don't necessarily see them or understand them. And my daughter also, in other ways of Snapchat and some of these apps and some of the dangers of the online and the app world. And hey, every nice teenage girl that speaks to you may not be a teenage girl, and they might actually be a man who's inviting you to do things. And so you gotta understand that this is our world today, and we have to be very careful of those things. And that's an ongoing battle.
Yeah, no, I believe it. By the way, I didn't tell you this, but I have six children. My oldest is 14, my youngest is 2. So you're a little bit ahead of me in the age ranges. But we're just you know, we're entering that stage where there's just more technology use, and we're navigating some of those things as well.
Yes.
We're trying to do it in advance, you know, before you've already been sucked down the rabbit hole.
Yes.
I think a lot of us have experienced the opposite. You know, we get thrown into the pornography dungeon, and there's nobody there to tell us otherwise or to get us out, you know, and it takes years to turn around from that. Or ever, you know, without God, I don't know how anybody does it without having a reason.
I completely agree.
So, give me just a couple things that you, with all the things that you mentioned today, what is it that you're hoping to teach your children? What do you hope or intend that they'll learn from you as they grow up themselves?
Well, that's a deep question. I think the main thing that I'm thinking about now is my kids are teenagers. My son is a senior in high school. And so literally next year he's going off to college or going off to the military. And so that's one of the things that I'm realizing, okay, I have 6 months left or whatever that time frame is. Mm. And the reality of all that, of all right, what if my son lives on a military base 6 or 8 or 10 states away, and now he's completely on his own? Will he be able to manage all this correctly? That's scary to me. But I also realize that that one day they will get married and they will have a mate and a spouse, and choosing that wife or choosing that husband is extremely important. And I'm trying to set the standard. This is what a husband and a man looks like. And I want my daughter to say, I need to find somebody like Dad. Boy, what a tall order. When I first looked at that or thought about this idea, I thought it was overwhelming. Well, I'm just not worthy. But in reality, I think that's one of the things that I'm trying to portray to the young guys now. And that is, you are the example, good, bad, or ugly. I know several, and you probably know a few of young girls that grew up with drunk fathers who were alcoholics, and they beat their mother, and then they grow up, and what do they marry, or what is their boyfriend? A terrible, abusive boyfriend. Mm. And or husband. And so there's this cycle there. And so for me, I realized that I wanted to show them what that looked like. And boy, what a huge responsibility that is for us as fathers. To say I'm not worthy is an understatement. Mm. But we need to realize that this is getting married and having a family and raising kids. This is our responsibility, and this is our calling from God, that he's saying you need to lead your family and you need to be the example of what a man looks like and what a man acts like. And he gets up every day and he goes to work and he speaks kindly to his wife, and that he leads his family and takes them to church. And hey, Dad needs to clean the kitchen, and Dad needs to handle this, and Dad needs to do some of these things that some stereotypes may think, all right, well, you're not really cool, or you're not a man if you're in there cleaning the kitchen. And there's several lessons along those lines that I realize a lot of times leading, being the leader, I am the leader, it doesn't look very cool. Mm. It's not very masculine. Mm. I told one guy recently that I'm mentoring that you need to lead from your knees. Mm. And that's a oxymoron. Wait a minute. I thought the leading man, he's in this action movie and he's swinging off a rope and crashing through the window and saving the girl and all that's cool. And you're telling me to be the masculine man that my wife needs, I need to lead from my knees. Mm. Boy, that's a strange, weird idea. And I say, yes, I realized, and I know I'm rambling on here, but
no, you're good. Keep on going.
I realized that a lot of times my wife would come in with tone and she would say something out of the blue at me and I would feel attacked by this. And then I would spout back and give her the same tone back. Oh yeah. Well, you did this and that and the other. And I realized somewhere along the lines, that if she comes in and starts an argument, and then I follow her into that argument, that she's leading and I'm following. And so the way that you do that is respond correctly. Don't take everything personally, but we got to have the emotional fortitude to be able to do such thing, to basically take some of that and be able to work through that. That if every time we take the bait or are offended by, she needs to tell me something real that I really need to hear. And if it offends me, then how am I leading? Now I'm offended by all this stuff and resentful, and I'm no longer leading. Now I'm starting an argument. And so some of that leadership that we need to do is understanding our tone and understanding that, yes, we need to lead from our needs. Because the strength that I need doesn't come from my family. Yes, I love them and they're wonderful and I've been blessed by God. But a lot of times the task that I need to tackle, the difficulty that I need the strength from the Lord, and the Holy Spirit needs to feed me. So I need to be fed on those things. Mm. So therefore, then I can lead and I can deal with arguments and I can deal with tone, or I can deal with some of these things that are coming at me. And when I begin to teach that and try to share with guys, you need to lead from your knees. And that means that you actually need to apologize. And you actually need to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I haven't done that right. I'm sorry I didn't. I told you I was going to fix this or clean the kitchen, and I didn't do that. You need to apologize. And so the idea that we need to go to apologize to our wife is not very masculine or cool. Or I realized that I told my kids I was going to do this for them, and then at the end of the day, oh, I couldn't do it. We ran out of time. I missed it. Well, I'm a failure. And then I need to go and apologize to my kids, and my family needs to look, needs to see what it looks like to see dad apologizing. Mm. And when we apologize first and we deal with the difficulty or the shortcoming or the failure, actually I'm leading by apologizing first. And by leading, by saying, I'm sorry, by dealing with those things and showing our family, this is what it looks like to lead. And it's not always cool, but that's what good leaders do, is learn from our mistakes, get better at it, watch my tone, and not follow people or family members into these arguments.
Mm. I suppose that is why the picture behind you, the painting behind you, is one of your favorites.
It is. Yes.
That is
George Washington, and he was leading against all odds. And to me, this is a great man who is a warrior, but boy, he is he's really struggling there and is in need of help and prayer and fortitude. And I can very much relate to it. Yeah.
Mm. Fantastic. Well, thank you, Nathan, so much for your time today. I appreciate you talking to us. And can I pray before we kind of wrap up?
Absolutely. You want to pray?
Yeah, I'll pray. Dear God, I just thank you so much for Nathan. God, I thank you for my own family. I do pray you'd give us wisdom as fathers, as husbands, Lord, to truly love our wives and our children well, to lead them and guide them and protect them, God, that you would just help us. Lord, we need you. If we're going to lead, Lord, we need you to lead us, to show us the vision for what our family should be and could be. And so I ask that you would just bless us with wisdom. And I ask for anybody who listens to this in the future, Lord, that you would bless them too, Lord, with wisdom to lead their family well. We just thank you and praise you that you're the God of gods and the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and that there is no one like you. And so, Lord, it is with this acknowledgement that we just praise you and thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim.
Hey, Nathan, thanks so much. I really appreciate your time.
Fellow fathers and friends, so glad you could join us for this episode. To stay connected, visit our website at fatherandfriend.com. Sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and other social media sites. Be sure to like, follow, and share with fellow dads and families in your community. If you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send us a message and let us know. Until our next episode, keep showing up, loving deeply, and making an impact for the good of your family. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Father and Friend.